News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. A conspiracy theory by a guy who ought to keep his trap shut, Eric Swalwell.
He's got a conspiracy theory?
Yeah, he was Mr. Fang Fang for a while, wasn't he?
yeah, he was.
He was wrapped up with that Chinese spy?
Yeah.
How did somebody like that get reelected? Ends up in a situation where he's compromising. The spy knows what she's doing. She definitely got something out of him over holding hands and a kiss on the cheek.
Obvious honeypot situation.
Yeah.
And he got reelected. It's the craziest thing. Yeah, I don't know what makes certain districts just keep sending the same person back. I guess it's what you do for me, not what you're doing in your spare time. I don't know. I guess people in his district don't care much about secrets being given directly
national,
to China.
National security. You know, no concerns about national security in that area of California. Anyway, yeah, we'll get to his conspiracy theory. Also, we'll talk about this shark alert bill, the way it's going to be, what's the actual mechanics of it all, how it's going to work. Waltz is out with the Trump administration. You were calling for his head on February the 1st.
Yeah.
Dalton was already saying Waltz needs to get, they need to do something about this Waltz guy. I'm sitting there thinking, what? What do you mean? But part of it, I guess, was you didn't like the idea of him giving up a seat in Congress.
Well, that was part of it. Yeah, I didn't really understand with such tight margins in the House why Trump, I think three people he had initially chosen to serve as part of his cabinet who were all Republicans in the House. And remember Stefanski, she was supposed to be the UN ambassador.
Yeah.
And she went back or was sent back to Congress before she gave her seat up. So she at least kept that vote. But with Waltz, I mean, he left his post as Congress. And thankfully, a Republican was reelected in that seat. But through that time, you were dealing with one less vote. And then it ended up, they tried to make it seem more dramatic than it really was leading up to that election. But things were looking a little more iffy than if Waltz had just been keeping that seat. But the reason I kind of had my, I wouldn't say issues with Waltz, it didn't seem, when you watched the Trump cabinet speak, and even in the leaked Signal chat, if you look at the conversation, his aims didn't seem to really jive with the rest of the Trump administration. I always got more of the sense that he was from the neocon kind of side of things, which maybe not necessarily hand in glove with all of what the neocons want to do, but he seemed more hawkish to me than a lot of the rest of the cabinet.
That's the talk behind the scenes. That's what he was. Even when he appointed his own staff or people behind him, they seemed to be more that than MAGA.
Yeah, and which with the Trump team, he likes to put differing views in there. He wants to see them kind of fight it out, and the better idea wins. So I do like that aspect of his administration. But with Waltz, it kind of seemed like the job was too big for him. Like he wasn't presenting himself as well as maybe some of the others on TV.
That and was then, considered a strength of his when Trump appointed him. They thought he was going to do great on TV, getting the word out, and he kind of struggled with that.
I thought
that was part of your right. Was that like the first flag for you? Before
yeah.
Even the okay.
I think so. And then
appear on the Sunday morning show and not quite get it done.
Yeah, I didn't think he was putting off as good of message as the rest. And then also that Signal chat. I mean, putting an Atlantic reporter inside the chat. It's amazing he wasn't fired right after that.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big misstep. But so Mike Waltz out. But now they're saying he'll be the UN ambassador. And Marco Rubio takes the role of National Security Advisor in addition to his role as Secretary of State. And I think they've given him two other interim jobs in the meantime. So he's, yeah, Secretary of everything, Marco Rubio,
yeah,
in the meantime.
If you text Marco Rubio and he doesn't get right back to you, it'd be understandable right now. He's got a lot going on.
Yeah, he sure does. But did you watch any of the Trump speech last night in Tuscaloosa? I had plans. I planned to sit down and watch the whole thing front to end, but we got into some homework and things with the kids last night. So I watched a lot of clips of it online, and I know Jeff Poor was front and center. He had a really good location, sending us a picture of it was strange seeing Nick Saban standing behind the podium with the presidential seal, although when they do the when they bring the championship teams into the White House to meet with the president, we've probably seen a picture of Nick Saban behind a presidential seal before with one of the championship teams.
Yeah, he's only won 17 or something.
But I was wondering how they'd line that up. And so many questions about, well, what if Nick Saban ran for office? First off, what would his politics look like?
What party would he be in?
And then what kind of support would he gather just by being Nick Saban, regardless of his political takes on things? And I guess most of us are, you shouldn't assume, but I've assumed certain things just from his actions. You would think that Nick Saban would be traditionally just kind of a conservative person, right? Mm-hmm. Like, go to work, work hard, save your money, do things the right way. It's the vibe you get. But remember during the Black Lives Matter movement, he was pretty outspoken on a lot of that. And some of his the things he said over the years, you're like, maybe he's more of a moderate, or maybe he even leans left. And you have his roommate from the college days, right? Joe Manchin, who was
a
moderate Democrat. Yeah, they were roommates.
Wow.
And so I've kind of wondered if he was maybe more of a Manchin Democrat. I guess really it doesn't matter unless he does run for office. But the handoff last night, they went Saban brought him on stage to Thunderstruck, which was pretty awesome.
Uh-huh.
And then he handed it off to Trump, who got a rousing ovation from those that were there in Coleman Coliseum last night. And then Trump spoke for 56 minutes.
He can do it.
And
it doesn't bother him to get up and just fling it out there.
It did. It hurt my soul a little bit hearing the president say roll tide. And I saw him say it once. I'm sure he rolled it out more than the one time I saw. And in talking about Tuscaloosa, he said, I guess you've become Titletown, Titletown, USA. So I'm sure my Bama friends will get some run out of the president saying Roll Tide and calling Tuscaloosa Titletown. But I thought it was pretty cool seeing and a really motivational message. I know Jeff took out a big chunk of the transcript of the Trump speech from last night. And it is motivating as all get out. So,
well, that's, you know, on stage with Saban in that setting, in a town that, in a state that is used to winning championships, makes sense. Mm-hmm. That's the way he would go about it. And talking right to that audience, I think that's a pretty good move.
Let me just read one part of it. Because remember, a commencement address, and it's the president speaking, and we know how Trump will tie in current politics and things into settings you normally don't see that. But this stretch here where he was talking to these graduates and saying how young he was when he really kind of got into the business world, and then he mentioned some of the others that are mentioned in every single commencement speech. He says Steve Jobs was 21 when he founded Apple. Walt Disney was 21. James Madison, James Monroe, Alexander Hamilton, Thomas Jefferson, all no older than 25 when they began their journeys. So here's just the part I wanted to read. So to everyone here today, don't waste your youth. Go out and fight right from the beginning. From the day you leave this incredible university, go out and fight. Fight tough, fight fair, but go out and fight. You're going to be very successful because now is the time to work harder than you have ever worked before. Push yourself further than you have ever pushed yourself before. Find your limits and then smash through everything. Go and smash through. He said, you've watched that football team smash through. You're going to do the same thing. Pretty cool speech. I'm going to check out the whole thing later on today. But that's got to be cool to be graduating from Bama and the president. Usually, unless you're at a service academy, you're not going to get the president at your graduation.
You know, they always say the one thing that you can control is your attitude. That's why those speeches are so well taken. And the speech, people love speeches like that because they think, wow, I've got more that I can determine than all the determinants around me. Like they can either move me around or I can move them around. Or mm-hmm. I can, and so when you hear a speech like that, it gives you hope. Like, wow, I've got a better shot at some sort of success than I even knew. But I think the fact is, like, my eyes are blue and your eyes are, what are they?
Also blue.
Okay.
Team blue.
But it's almost like it seems to be more of a trait that someone has. I mean, Trump has this trait of waking up and kicking butt. Not everybody. Some of us would have to. That have to be learned or through discipline. You need to use discipline to regiment your life.
Yeah.
But some people. But like Trump, he's just naturally motivated to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
That's That's why Trump has succeeded to the degree he has. It's great to inspire people, but in a way, you either got it or you don't, maybe?
You do, yeah, I think for sure. But also, you know, in kind of the grand scheme of things, and I think if you think of this Trump term as a turning of the page, mm-hmm. and like he was saying, new golden age of America, you can really get some cultural momentum, too. It does take a certain person to go out and do something, but if an entire culture, if everyone your age going to school with you or going to work with you, if they're all motivated,
got on the same page, like a team,
and optimistic about the future of the country, and you look at even today, so many of these college protests, and it just seems like there's been a dim outlook for, I don't know, decades, and the protests on college campus, it's all about. It's just also negative.
Yeah.
And I want to say that probably a lot of the professors are just negative in these classes. And imagine where, like, I don't know if maybe they're doing it better at Bama and some of these colleges in the Southeast than they are in a lot of the Ivy League ones. But imagine going to school and you have a bunch of people fired up to get out into the workforce to make things and to grow America and, you know, hit this new age running. That's kind of the message that I felt Trump was sending last night. And then some of the numbers that are coming out today, we'll get into this hour, looking pretty good. And China responding to how this tariff battle is going about a month and a half in, and they look like they're starting to break. But we'll get into that some more in the later in this hour.
That's interesting. And I think the thing about the higher education, Dalton, is number one, when you look at some of these professors, you're talking about people who you're saying it's kind of a dim outlook. I think their outlook of this nation is dim. They're not crazy about the United States of America and the way things were founded and how it's been operated to this point. So when they're almost anti-American as they're presenting their class to you, that would influence you to be negative as well. Mm-hmm. So if you have a teacher like that, and it's almost like some of the places where kids might get an education that is a little more I don't know, when you have kids that are of faith and go to schools like Bob Jones University, I believe there's one, and Liberty University mm-hmm. as well. Those, I've read books from those students, and it's pretty University of Mobile right here in town.
Yeah.
But you have institutions of higher learning that are, you know, Bible-based, whatever you want to call it, maybe not affiliated with a particular religion, but it gives you, it does give you the sense of hope.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the most hopeful places that I've ever been around here is the campus at the University of Mobile. I don't share all the ideals that these kids have. I don't think I've got the same level of faith, but they are amazing in that way. So when you talk about being motivated, it is amazing when you see people come together and all move in the same direction.
Yeah, and I guess maybe the main problem here is the victimhood has overtaken the universities.
Yeah.
You see it when valedictorians give their speeches and have for the last few decades. You see it when professors get out and talk, and they just, even when they're graduating, they're supposed to be the happiest day of their life, they talk about being victims, and maybe some of these Bible colleges less focused on that, but
I bet they are.
Turn the page on victimhood and start getting more optimistic about the future of America. The culture can carry things quite a ways.
I'm with you. I'm 100% with you, and it's amazing when we break it down how much more we have in our control. We can control the world around us rather than the world around us controlling us.
Yeah.
821, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings.
FM Talk 106.5 is Mobile and Baldwin County's number one creator of live local content. Listen on air, online, and on demand. FM Talk 106.5, turning up your voice.
I was looking at radar, sizing up my ability to get a walk-in today, and radar doesn't show much. Didn't look outside. It was pouring.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like that would be, that's like an isolated shower just over the former O'Charlie's in our building. I don't think anybody else is getting it. So anyway, just to be on the lookout, maybe a shower popping up this morning. It's 8:35 with Dan and Dalton.
And we're going to get to the texts on the Mallory Piping text line here in a moment, 251-343-0106. But we'll start on the phone, actual phone where you pick up the handset. They still call it that. Talk to him. Freddie in West Mobile. Hey, Freddie, good morning.
Good morning. Happy birthday to you guys, by the way.
Oh, yeah, thank you. 16 yesterday.
16 years in one day, and we got our first traffic ticket yesterday. It's only been 16 for a day.
Didn't take long, yeah.
Yeah, so, Freddie, what you thinking about this morning?
So I'm thinking about the shark, and I'm hopping mad because of all the things that this state legislature does. They went out, and I have empathy for the young lady that got bit. Don't get me wrong. I'm sorry that she got bit, but it happened in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Last year in this state, over 90 people died in motorcycle fatalities. And 3 years ago, it took 3 years to get a hands-free bill through the legislation to get people to put down their cell phones to stop being distracted drivers.
Mm.
And there's more people die from that in the state than die from shark attacks.
Sure.
Which last year, nobody in Alabama died from a shark attack.
Yeah.
But because this young lady got the public form and was able to get somebody upstate to I feel sorry for, she got a bill through the legislature, and I have to cajole, berate, do whatever I can to even get a legislator to listen to me for 30 seconds.
Do you drive are you a motorcyclist?
I am.
Okay.
I'm 14.
More power to you. I'm telling you, I've never had the bug. I've never had the interest, and I always view that as a very risky ride to wherever you're going. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I just think as a motorist always in a car or a truck, those motorcycles, you've got to have a lot of people looking out for you, I think, along your way. What have you proposed? What have you proposed to legislators about helping people on motorcycles?
Well, going back to the hands-free bill, we proposed to make that a primary violation.
Right.
But it only passed after, like I said, it took three years of effort behind Hands-Free Alabama to get it even as a secondary violation.
Mm-hmm.
But we proposed raising the riding age from 14 to 16. So right now you can get a license to ride a motorcycle in traffic at 14 years old.
Mm-hmm. To drive one? Wow.
Yes, to actually ride one.
Huh.
But now everybody will tell you, well, how many 14-year-olds you know? Well, there was a young man up on Lot Road somewhere that was paralyzed a number of years ago while riding a motorcycle. And you don't have to take a skills test. This is the only state in Alabama are the only state in the United States that does not allow an on-motorcycle skills test.
Wow.
You only take a written test. And somebody that's 14, 15 years old is not equipped to take and ride in traffic. I'm sorry, they're not.
They don't
have the experience.
Appreciate you, Freddie. Thanks for the call this morning. It's 8:38. Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, I think that, no hate for Lulu. I mean, she's so motivational, and you played some of what she had to say earlier. So nothing against her. I guess a lot of people their issue with this seems to be that it seems like a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like the legislature only has a set amount of days, and there are still some important things and divisive things we're waiting to see if they can get it across this year. And you're like, well, how much time did they spend on this shark alert bill? Angry Patriot on the Mallory Piping text line says, Dan, you get the bug once you start riding. It becomes a way of life. You wouldn't understand unless you've been on one.
No, I get it. I get it for sure. I'm not in no way am I criticizing motorcycle drivers at all. I've been involved with some of the biggest fundraisers on the Gulf Coast for St. Jude with the folks. 200-400 people riding a motorcycle to a country show.
Mm-hmm.
Great people. Loved them all. They were there for the right reason, and they love their motorcycles, and they love to ride.
Yeah, I mean, we rode dirt bikes a lot when I was a kid, and my dad has always been riding his motorcycle everywhere. And then just living here in Mobile, I was like, I've seen how people drive around here. I'm not driving a motorcycle, at least in Mobile.
Yeah.
You get outside a little bit, and there's some great roads. But, yeah, I'm not a big fan of doing it inside the city. Let's see. Daniel in Foley says, I will block that new alert. Dumb bill on sharks. Texter here, I'm in my 50s. I learned as a kid you avoid being in the water, the surf, early in the morning and late in the evening. That's when the sharks are most active. I think a lot of people ignore that simple fact. That being said, I think a detection system with verified attacks will be a benefit. Jerry in Fort Morgan says that's the stupidest law to ever come out of the Alabama legislature.
Jerry's usually upbeat.
It's natural selection. You can't regulate it. He also said, in regard to the Waltz news, Michael Waltz, anyone who had the commie reporter in their contacts should have never been hired. A reference to Goldberg with The Atlantic being invited into that Signal conversation.
Yeah, that's fair, I guess. I mean, what was he doing in his... What was that guy doing in his contacts? He was a congressman from Florida until he got to D.C., so that's kind of unusual.
Your friendly neighborhood banker says this may be a dumb question, but wouldn't it be better to just net off large portions of the beach? I imagine there'd be some pushback on that. Leo says, can we get drunk teenager alerts? That would be way more useful than the shark alert. Talk about the alert system going off in your phone if you had a drunk teenager alert. CB Carl says Coach Chuck Anderson, who had his arm bitten off by a shark, is also one of the most positive people you'll ever meet.
Yeah, he is.
And I'm glad to see CB Carl took a break from the Hot Air Balloon Festival to listen and talk with us. I know that's a big weekend for CB Carl and Laura with the Hot Air Balloons. Jason said in that speech last night, Trump referenced the book Power of Positive Thinking several times. That seems to be his MO, is the positive thinking. And I want to get to some news this morning regarding that here in just a minute. Gardner says they can pass a shark alert bill but can't pass protection from illegal aliens. And then said, as far as the federal government, so many bills in the U.S. Senate need 60 votes to pass. That may be why there are so many executive orders instead of depending on congressional MAGA support. And you know, the other day, if it weren't for Vance's vote, they would have tried to repeal the tariffs, the Senate, the other day.
Saw that.
And Gardner continues, the 60-vote threshold is a major hurdle for MAGA policies, pushing Republicans to rely heavily on reconciliation, executive actions, or rare bipartisan deals. It shapes the scope and pace of Trump's agenda, requiring strategic trade-offs, and said politicians never waste a good tragedy if it can make them look good, I think in regards to the shark alert bill.
And so David Faulkner is the representative from Mountain Brook. I want to play this real quick and see if you can get inside his head a little bit. This is what he says, and he seems very earnest, about the bill and about the alert.
I hope one day the technology, I think the technology is there, and I think this bill can be strengthened to even prevent first attacks. But this was a first step in putting a tool in the arsenal of emergency professionals to protect people when there's been a shark attack.
All right, so I realize emerging technology is coming on fast. There's things that I would have never guessed, and now they're here or they're on the way. You have a phone that can actually cuss you out or flirt with you. So,
is sometimes one and the same, right?
I'm highly entertained by all that AI stuff. So I'm not exactly... how would technology advance to the point where the alert would prevent the first attack?
Yeah, I don't know. How could technology be somewhere where you could let people know there's going to be an unprovoked shark attack?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's impossible.
But he said it. He seemed to be earnest. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. Yeah. Maybe there's an explanation for what he said.
Well, yeah.
I just haven't tied it all together.
And Jeff had him on. Jeff Poor did. Yeah. Had him on for a whole segment. And he seemed genuine. He genuinely believes in this bill and in this alert system, and didn't seem to be reading the room from the southern part of the state, but maybe he didn't need to. But again, maybe this is all a big to-do about nothing, since these alerts will only go out when there are unprovoked attacks.
Which are
very limited
in
how often that would happen. But if they do kind of open it up to more just shark sightings, then yeah, it could be a real issue, I think, going forward.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go that far.
Some news this morning, and I don't go to them often or really at all, but Bloomberg.com breaking some of the news today, and we'll start with this. Remember yesterday when we were talking about the decline in GDP of the U.S. with those numbers coming in for April, or for the first quarter, I should say, and it was going in the wrong direction. And the reasoning behind that, they said, were companies knew this big tariff battle was coming on, so they stocked up on items before the tariffs went into effect.
Makes sense.
That made our imports kind of outweigh our exports for the first quarter, but that things would be changing. Now, we also had the story yesterday that China, their economy, also took a real hit in the first quarter. What was the exact stat here? You had their economy, new export orders hitting a low not seen since 2022. They said 10 to 20 million Chinese jobs currently under threat with this tariff battle. Well, news this morning from Bloomberg, China has quietly started to exempt some U.S. goods from tariffs that likely cover around $40 billion worth of imports in what looks like an effort to soften the blow of the trade war on its own economy. So this is about a quarter of the U.S. imports they are exempting for tariffs, and they did it kind of under the cloak of darkness this morning. A list of exempted U.S. products covering 131 items like pharmaceuticals and industrial chemicals have been circulating among traders and businesses over the past week. It's unclear where the list came from, and it hasn't been officially confirmed, but at least half a dozen companies in China have been able to bring in goods from that list without paying tariffs. So that just shows you, and I don't know what the exact specifics of all of this mean, but I think it shows that China's they're facing a bit of a headwind now because of this.
It's big. Yeah. It's big, and even in a country like China, when the people are being affected so adversely, in some way you're feeling the heat a little bit. So that's and keep an eye on the coverage of that as well. That's one of those things we were talking about yesterday, how fake news also involves news that is not reported at all.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you want to lop Bloomberg, where they are, I would think they're more
way left,
you know, center to the left. Okay, and so. It's interesting, but they report financial news, obviously. That it'd be hard for them to miss that one.
Yeah.
But keep an eye on CNN, NBC, et cetera.
So, and you also had jobs numbers come out today, and those look great. So, you know, if there is another winning day on the market today, that would be 9 in a row. But, of course, it's very volatile, so I don't know about using that as a basis to show that the Trump economy is already starting to get revved up. But with these jobs numbers, those are looking pretty good. U.S. economy continued to add jobs at a steady clip. The pace of gains slowed slightly, but added 177,000 jobs in April. That's above what they were expecting. And the unemployment rate stayed the same at 4.2%. But here's what I like. They had more jobs added than predicted, but federal government layoffs continue. So you're losing federal government jobs.
Yeah, that's got to do with DOGE.
And gaining enough in the private industry that it's kind of offsetting and even outperforming what they were predicting. Federal government employment declined by 9,000 in April, and I'm sure there's people that want to see that number go a little higher. So you add in the minerals deal from this week,
right.
Stock market's rebounding.
Mm-hmm.
China seems to be getting hurt a bit from this little tariff battle, and maybe some deals announced with India and South Korea and Japan maybe some Trump wins coming a little earlier than some people predict.
Yeah, you just have to be careful where you're trying to identify these wins, because the Democrats keep banging the same drum with the same message, very negative against Trump and the oligarchs and all that kind of stuff. They're just reading out of the same hymnal and getting all kinds of time on CBS, NBC, and CNN for sure. Now, again, the numbers are, how about this? Fox 5-1, you know, I'm not like Fox fanboy here, but the fact is Fox primetime 5 times CNN's audience last month. 5 times.
That's a big number.
It's a big number. So I think the word, the left media, their word is the same, and yet not as many people are either caring about what they've got to say or listening at all.
That's wild. And I want to hear that Eric Swalwell conspiracy. Maybe we can get to that on the other side of this break.
You'll love that.
But let's do this now and give away our final pair of tickets for the week for the voice and songs of REO Speedwagon, the Kevin Cronin Band, playing at the Sanger Theater September 18th. Tickets go on sale today, but you can win our last pair of tickets right now. Caller number 5 at 251-343-0106. Caller number 5, a pair of tickets to see the Kevin Cronin Band, voice and songs of REO Speedwagon, at the Sanger Theater September 18th. Cronin is the legendary voice and writer behind REO's number one hits Keep On Loving You and Can't Fight This Feeling, and you have a pretty good chunk of the band REO Speedwagon in the Kevin Cronin Band, singing the voice and songs of REO Speedwagon. So that's at the Sanger Theater September 18th, and we're giving away that final pair of tickets now at 251-343-0106. Coming up, we'll preview the Jeff Poor Show, who was in attendance at the Trump speech at Coleman Coliseum last night, plus Eric Swalwell's grand conspiracy theory, all on the way on Mobile Mornings.
It's coming.
We'll be right back.
time. Thanks for the word on our winner from Leanna. It's 8:54 with Dan and Dalton on Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, congratulations. We actually gave two pairs away. This morning. Pair. Kelly, congrats to Kelly. And then most recently, congrats to James getting tickets to see Kevin Cronin Band, Sanger Theater, September 18th. Tickets go on sale later today.
So Eric Swalwell, the Fang Fang fame, where he was giving up all the good stuff to the Chinese spy. Nice. And again, gets reelected. God knows what's going on in the heads of some districts. Of course, Democrat, California, all that. He is now, he's got a conspiracy theory about the last election.
Oh.
He's an election denier.
He's denying it.
He's a Democrat election denier. He's on this liberal podcast. I don't know exactly where this starts, but the host is asserting that Elon Musk and Starlink stole the data and the information and messed up the election, something like that.
Wow.
And Swalwell is happy to go along.
Elon Musk has done nothing in the last 5 months to make me think that we shouldn't ask questions about what the hell he was doing in 2024. And maybe we gave him too much of the benefit of the doubt, you know, after the election, but the way that he's conducted himself with Doge and the way that, you know, he's exposed us to so many hackers outside and the way that he's taken data, you know, from Americans, from our records, whether it's Social Security or healthcare records, the only way that we can understand, you know, what the hell Elon Musk has been doing is to be in the majority. We're just a couple seats away.
So we didn't see that Biden was long gone. We didn't hear the words of Kamala Harris that in the end ran around in circles and made no sense. We didn't see a man get shot once and almost twice and still try to lead this nation. None of that we saw. What actually happened was we all voted for the Democrats and Elon Musk stole the election.
It's
there you go.
Yeah. I mean, they're kind of almost taking the page right out of the Republicans' playbook with them. it's funny because as Democrats kind of try to search and find this message for the midterms, that Swalwell is doing it like the absolutely laziest possible way. He's going, he's like, so we all kind of don't feel great about Elon, right? I'm pretty sure he stole the election anyway. Only way we're changing that is if we win. He's not even really putting in the effort to win votes.
No.
He's just saying, hey, you know, Elon, yeah.
He's real smart.
He's real smart. Let's get him out.
He's real smart, so he probably stole it. Okay, and then, yeah, that's what happened. And then
bang.
Also in California, you've got Newsom, who is, I've got no words for that guy.
He said California's out-doging Doge.
Yeah.
He said they did it first and that they're better than Doge at cutting costs.
Yeah,
that's funny.
They're also better at Doge in allowing forest fires burn down two-thirds of your city.
Yeah, they've done that. Cindy says the rain is crazy near you. Just drove over here from sunny Baldwin County. Well, yeah, it's moved past us, so maybe it's headed your way right now. Let's see. Texter here says Trump will have Musk create robotic dolphins that will patrol the beaches. If Orange Beach gets the 1% sales tax, they can buy hundreds of them.
I like that.
Good idea for the shark system and at the beach have robotic Tesla dolphins. Jeff Porcho on the way. He'll have Todd Stacey with Alabama Daily News on in hour number one. April Marie Fogle from 1819 News in hour two. And State Senator Chris Elliott in hour three as we get close to wrapping up this Alabama legislative session for 2025. Sure, State Senator Elliott has plenty to say on that.
Well, maybe by Monday we'll see some movement behind the scenes over the weekend on these robotic dolphins.
I thought you were going to say the Russian war.
No, the dolphins. 8:59, Dan and Dalton got to go. Jeff Poore on the way next.